Shalom to all. Today's Daf is Chol Daf Kuf Tes Vav. We are on Kuf Yud Aleph Beis, the second to last line in the parentheses. And today's Daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Tzar Basim Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So Rashi just said, Kol She Ti'avti Lecha. Anything the Torah asserted and says that you should stay away from and treat as a Toyeva, it's not only just Aser, but it's also Aser to eat and have Hana from. And that's why Basar B'chalav is Aser Be'achila and Hana. So that's what the parentheses is telling us, that Simon, the Simon from where we're going to ask all our questions is Shabbos, Chayresh, Kelei Zraim, Oseves B'nai, V'shilacha Kain. So here's the first question. El Me'at, this really so Kuftes Vav Amar Alf on top, Maisa Shabbos Letzru, that's something that was made on Shabbos. For example, if a person cooked on Shabbos B'shayeg, that should be Aser B'achila U'be'hana Dahati Afti L'chahu, because this is something that I said you should treat as an abomination. We know we're not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos, so something that was cooked on Shabbos should be Aser B'achila U'be'hana, but we know that it's only Aser to the person who himself did it, but not to other people. So the answer is no. Amar Kra, on this, the Pasuk tells us, Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem, it is Kodesh for you. What do we learn from here? Hi Kodesh Vein Maaseh Kodesh, Shabbos is Kodesh, but it's Maisim aren't Kodesh, which means that even if a Maisa was done on Shabbos, it's only Aser for the person who did it, but not for other people. So it's not a question of Ashi. Another question though, if somebody plows with an ox and a donkey together, or he muzzles his cow's mouth while it's threshing, this plowing or this threshing, it itself should be Aser, because I made this Aser for you. These are two Isurim in the Torah B'Feirush, that you're not allowed to plow with a Shor and a Chamor together, and you're not allowed to muzzle the cow as it's threshing. So the answer is no. Hashta now, Uma Shabbos Chamira. We just said before, Shabbos we know is very Chamor, but still Masem Mutarin, something that was done illegally on Shabbos is still Mutar. Hani, Kol Shekain, these that are not as Chamor as Shabbos, shouldn't we say for sure that they're permitted? And that's because it's also not a question of Rashi, how we're not able to use this Kal V'Chamor to permit Basar B'Chalav itself, and that's because there's a key difference. When we're talking about something that was done on Shabbos, or plowing with a Shor and a Chamor together, they were threshing with a cow even though it's muzzled, that action itself is the Toyeva, but the outcome of the action, the thing that was done on Shabbos, or the grain that was threshed, for example, that's not a Toyeva, so that's why you could benefit from it. As opposed to Basar B'chalav, that itself is the Toyeva. The Torah says, don't cook Basar B'chalav, so that product itself is the Toyeva, so of course you wouldn't be allowed to eat it or benefit from it. We have another question though, Kelei Zruim Litzru, Kelaim of seeds should be Aser, Dati Afti L'chahu, because I said it's Aser, there's a Mishnah Freshes, that even though you're not allowed to plant Kelei Zruim, Kelaim of seeds, a mixture of different seeds together, it's not Aser B'achil or B'ana, but why not? It should be, because the Torah says, stay far away from it, don't do this, and the answer is that no, but the Galarachman Gavakila Kerem, since the Torah reveals specifically by Kelaim of a vineyard, it uses the words pen tikdash, and what do we learn from here? Pen tukad esh, lest it be burned in fire. And that tells us that Kelaim Kerem is Aser and it's actually going to be burned. Mechlah, the Kelaim Zroim Sharu, that's mashma, the Kelaim of seeds, then that's permitted. Asking more of Ema, why didn't I say the Kelaim Kerem Asurun, Bain Bechila Bain Bana, the Kelaim Bekerem, Kelaim in a vineyard, that's Aser both to eat and to benefit from. But Kelaim Zroim, Bechila Siri Bana Sharu, Kelaim Zroim, they're Aser Bechila, they're only Mutter Bana. So more says, no, Iskishla Kelaim Behema, Kelaim Zroim is compared to forbidden mixtures of animals. The pasuk says, "Behem tcholei sarbiya kelayim, sod tcholei sizra kelayim." Don't mate your animals in a mixture, and don't plant your field in a mixture. What do you learn from here? Ma behem tcha hayotzei man muteres, just like your animals. Even if you mix mated them, still the product that comes from them is permitted. For example, a mule is a mixture of a horse and a donkey. Even though that wasn't allowed, you're still allowed to benefit from the mule. Af sod hayotzei manu muter. So to your field, even if you planted it kelayim and that wasn't allowed, you're still allowed to benefit from it. The gemara just further clarifies this point. Kelaim behem gufayim nolan kelayim of animals. Themselves, how do we know they're permitted? And the answer is since the Torah says that for Gavaya, for the Beis HaMikdash, for a carbon, you're not allowed to use a mixed mated animal, that's mashma, that for just a regular person, if you want to shecht it, if you want to use it for your own benefit, that's permitted. Going back to ask questions on Ravashi, Oseves B'nai Litzer, Oseves B'nai should be Asar. We already know from earlier in the Masechta that it's Asar to shecht a mother and her child on the same day, and if a person does do that, it should be Asar to eat the meat, because the Torah says it's Asar, and this should fit with Ravashi's then, but we know it's not Aser. The answer to that is because since the Torah says the Mechusar Zman is something that's premature, it's being shechted in the improper time, that's not allowed to use for the Beis HaMikdash. For example, an animal that's not 8 days old, or if a mother was shechted, so the child is considered Mechusar Zman, it's not allowed to be shechted on the same day for the Beis HaMikdash. Then it's mashma that was done by just a regular person, but it's at his barbecue, even though he wasn't allowed to do that, but the evidence he's allowed to benefit from it. One more question, Ravashi, Shiloh HaKein Litzer. Shiloh HaKein should be Aser. We know the mitzvah is that if a person finds a mother bird resting on her young or on the eggs, he has to first send the mother away, then he takes the babies or the eggs. As the pasuk clearly tells us, don't take the mother with the children. That would fit on the category of kol she ti'avti lecha, I made a toyeva for you, it should be aser. So that mother bird should be aser to take even after it's sent away. So our answer is no. Loi amar Torah shaleach l'takala. The Torah is not going to tell you to send it away, and that's going to cause a takala for somebody else. If that mother bird, once she's sent away, is aser to benefit from, that means somebody random who finds her and doesn't know know that she was part of Shiluach HaKain. He's going to take her and eat her, and then he's going to be over Issa without even knowing it. And obviously, the Torah is not going to do that. So this is also not a question of Rav Ashi. So that ends that whole discussion. Now, continuing though with more sources of how we know that Basar B'Chalav is not only Asr to cook, but also Asr to eat and benefit from Achila and Hana. So Rav Shlakish, he tells us, Minal Basar B'Chalav Sha'asr, how do we know Basar B'Chalav is Asr B'Achila B'Hana? So to that, the Pasuk says, in regards to Karban Pesach, Al Techo Menuna, don't eat from it partially cooked, Ubashal Mavoshal, or regularly cooked in water. And what's the drasha? Shein Tam Olemer Mavoshal. We don't have to have the second word Mavoshal. It already says Ubashal. So Ma Tam Olemer Mavoshal. Why does the Pasuk repeat the word Mavoshal? It must be Lemer L'cha to tell you, Yeshcha Bishal Acher Shukazed, that there's another type of Bishal, which is like this, that is Aser, and Eza. What's that referring to? Is that Basar B'Chalav? This is Basar B'Chalav. I mean, just like if a person cooks a Karban Pesach, it's Aser to eat, so too, if a person cooks Basar B'Chalav, it's Aser to eat. So Rabbi Yechon told Rish Lakish, Kuftas Vav Beis on top, Ka'ur Zu Shoshana Rebbe, is the following thing that Rebbe taught Ka'ur to you, which is a very strong lashon. This means repulsive to you. What, you don't like Rebbe's drasha? What's the drasha? The pasuk tells us, Loisechlenu, don't eat it. This is referring to Psulei Hamukdashim. If an animal is originally designated to be a karbon and then it got a psul, for example, developed a mum, so the pasuk says, Loisechlenu, don't eat it. And actually, at face value, the pasuk is literally talking about don't eat its blood, but it says the word Loisechlenu twice. And so what do we learn from here? Says Rebbe, Bebasar B'chalva Kasar Medaber, that extra time of Loisechlenu is telling us about Basar B'chalav. And for the clarification, you say that the pasuk is talking about Basar B'chalav. Maybe though it's referring to just any other Isser in the Torah. It's just emphasizing Loisechlenu, don't eat that Isser. And so Amrit, you say that no, say Lomanim Yud Gimel Midas, go out and learn from one of the Yud Gimel Midas, the 13 ways that we dash in the Torah through. We say this brice every single morning, the brice of Rabbi Shmuel, Omer B'shlish Yisrei Midas, Shatarin Jashbahen. And the second to last one is Davar Halamed Min Yanoi, something that's learned from its context, which means you read the pasuk, you're not 100% sure what it's referring to, but if you look at the whole context, so then you can learn exactly what we're talking about. And b'ma kasam daber, what's this pasuk of Loisechlenu talking about? B'shnei minin, two different minim. So afkan b'shnei minin, so to here, we're talking about two minim. What does that mean, two minim? So as we had just said, this pasuk of Loisechlenu is talking about psulei hamukdashim. And what's the din when we have this animal that's originally designated a carbon and a gadol mum? We could be paida it. So in regards to eating it, it's perfectly mutter to eat. You're allowed to shecht it like regular. Vis-a-vis that, it's considered chulin. However, since it used to be a karbon, it has an iser called giza v'avayda. You're not allowed to shear it if it's a sheep, and you're not allowed to work with it if it's a cow, for example. So vis-a-vis that, it's considered kodshim. So this is how it's called two minim. In other words, the pasuk of Loisechlenu is talking about two separate minim, and therefore, since we have a double word, Loisechlenu, Loisechlenu, so we have a drasha, that drasha must be referring to two minim as well. And what's the two minim? Basar b'chalav. So this is Rabbi Yechon's question on Reish Lakish. Why don't you like this drasha from Rebbe? Why not use this? Why do you have to go to Karban Pesach? So the response is, imahi, if we just had this drasha, havamina would think, hanimili b'achila, that only Aser is eating Basar B'Chalav, aval ba'na loy, but maybe it's not Aser to benefit from Basar B'Chalav, so kamash malon, that's why I, Reish Lakish, brought this drasha from Karban Pesach of Bashel Mevoshel, and that tells us that it's even Aser ba'na. So now that we understand Reish Lakish, how we know Basar B'Chalav is Aser b'achila ba'na, so now we ask, v'rebi ba'na minale, how does Rebbe know that Basar B'Chalav is Aser ba'na? The answer is, nafkalim b'achal, he learns from the following. Number Kana says over here, by Basar B'Chalav, ki am kadesh ato Hashem, and the pasuk concludes, Lo yisvash kadiba chalevi mai. But Namar Lalan, it says over there, Lo yakadosh b'nei Yisrael, then a male yid is not allowed to be a kadesh, which has to do with promiscuity and znus. What do we learn from here? Malalan banav, kan banav, just go over there, it's Isser Hana, because since we're talking about znus, obviously the Isser over there is Hana. So too over here, when we say, Lo yisvash kadiba chalevi mai, and he uses the lashon of Kiyam kadesh ata, that's Isser Hana as well. We have another drasha, the Rebbe Lazar Tana, that how do we know the Isser of Hana and Achila by Basar B'Chalav? It says in this very same pasuk of Basar B'Chalav, beginning tells us, Loi Seichel Kol Nevela V'Gaymer, don't eat any Nevela. Rather, what do you do with Nevela? You give it to a ger or sell it to a guy. What do we learn from here? Amar Tai, the Torah is telling us, Kish Atim Kerena, when you're selling it, meaning when you're selling Nevela, Loi Sevashlenu V'Sim Kerena, don't cook it and sell it, meaning when the end of the pasuk says, Loi Sevashlenu V'Chalevi Mai, that tells us not only don't cook it, but don't cook it and sell it, so you're not allowed to benefit from it. Continuing another Joshua, the Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel learns, and this is really the original way we learned it, the Loi Sevashlenu V'Chalevi Mai, it says, don't cook a goat's mother's milk three times. And why three times? Echelis rachila, vechelis ranav, echelis rabishal. Once for this rachila, once for this rana, and once for this rabishal. Now we have yet another drasha, and this is going to be fairly complicated. Tanya ben Brisa Izben Yehudaimer, he tells us, Minan the Basar B'Chalav Sha'asr, how do we know Basar B'Chalav is Asr ba'achila ubehana? And that's because Namar Khan, it says over here, Ki'am Kadishato, we already quoted this pasuk, and Namar Alon, it says over there, V'anche Kadish Tiunli, and you shall be Anche Kadish for me, Basar Basad the Trefa, Loi Saichlu, don't eat meat which is Trefa. Mal Alon Asr, Afkan Asr, just like over there, it's Asr to eat, so to over here, it's Asr to eat. Now, that's only an Isser Achila. Bana Minayin, So how do we know basar b'chalav is asur ba'ana? Amrit kal v'chaymer, you would say a kal v'chaymer. And pay attention to this because we're going to be discussing this in pretty big detail a little bit later on in the Amud. Uma arla shaloi nevda ba'aveira asur ba'ana arla, which is the first 3 years of fruit that grow on a tree. No isur was done whatsoever. It's still asur ba'ana, though we know those first 3 years of fruit are not allowed to be eaten and you're not even benefit from them. So basar b'chalav shenevda ba'aveira, basar b'chalav, then aveira was done with them. You cook them together, that's an aveira, and it didn't asur ba'ana. Shouldn't we say for sure that it's asur ba'ana? So that's step one in the kal v'chaymer, comparing basar b'chalav to arla. However, the question is, mala arla shekin lahi sol shas kosher? What about arla? It never had a shas kosher. Those first 3 years of fruit never had a time that they were permitted. As was the basar b'chalav did have a time it was permitted. The basar was mutter by itself, and the chalav was permitted by itself. So maybe we can't say that it's asur ba'ana. So here's the next topic that we're bringing in: chametz pesach hechiach, chametz on pesach will prove that it doesn't make a difference. Shahai sol shas kosher. It did have a time that it was permitted before pesach. Chametz is permitted. Asur ba'ana, but still on Pesach it's asur ba'ana. It would be the same thing with basar b'chalav, that even though it used to be permitted by itself, basar and chalav, now that it's together, it's asur ba'ana. Here's the next step, which is the question on that. Mal chametz b'pesach shekein onesh kares, but you can't learn from chametz on Pesach because that's very chamor. Its punishment is kares, as opposed to basar b'chalav, the punishment isn't kares. Now, what does Isi ben Yehuda do? Pay attention, because the Gemara is going to ask on this. Kilei ha'kerem yechichu. It brings a third topic into the discussion, that kilayim in a vineyard, that shall prove that it doesn't make a difference. She'ein onush kares, there's no kares. However, basar ba'ana, it's still asur ba'ana, and that brings us back to basar b'chalav, that there's no kares, and it's asur ba'ana. So here's question number one. Lama li gzeir shava? What do we need the initial gzeir shava for? We've compared basar b'chalav to treifa. Just like treifa is asur to eat, so too basar b'chalav is asur to eat. Laisi kul b'kalachar me'arla. Why not learn the whole thing, achila and hana, based off of the second step, which was the kalachimer from arla? And let's just simply say, uma arla shalai nefda ba'aveira asura b'machil me'ba'ana. No, aveira was done with it. It's still asur to eat and to benefit from. So basar b'chalav shenav d'bay aveira, basar b'chalav and aveira was done with it. Ainu din she'asur b'machil b'ana. Shouldn't we for sure say that it's asur b'achila and b'ana? As the answer to that is that the reason why we have to have this initial gzeira shava is mishum te'ikel meimar, because we could say the charesh b'shar b'chamor v'chaisim pipar v'dash b'yachiyach, the surim that we had brought up on Amud Aleph, the plowing with the shar and chamor together, or muzzling a cow as it's threshing, that will prove that this is not true. Shenav d'bayam aveira, and aveira was done with them, but v'sharu, the product of that, either whatever was plowed or whatever was threshed, that's permitted. And that's what Isi ben Yehuda had to start out with, Gzeir Shava, Asr Nechil is Basar B'chalav, because of meat of a treifa. Now we've gone to Isi ben Yehuda's next step, which is Kal V'chaymer. And let's just review. The first step of Kal V'chaymer was comparing A to B, namely Basar B'chalav to Arla. Then we said that can't be compared, so we tried to compare A to C, which is Basar B'chalav to Chametz on Pesach. And then we said that can't be done, so what do? We brought D into the discussion, which is Kilayim. So here's the question. Why did Isi ben Yehuda have to do that? Why did he have to bring a third factor into the discussion of Kelei HaKerem? Lema, why didn't he just say simply, Arla Teichiach, that Arla should prove this is not a problem, V'lahadr Dina, and we'll go back to the original discussion, V'leisi B'mahatzad, and bring it from a Mahatzad. In other words, we should have just kept this as a classic Mahatzad. What do we usually do in almost every situation? We try to compare A to B, that doesn't work, so we bring C into the discussion, that also doesn't work. So what does the Braisa usually do? It says, no problem, even though A is not 100% like B or like C, still they share a common denominator, therefore we can learn that they're all Aser, or they're all Mutter, whatever the drasha is. And the classic way of saying this is the Loiri Zeh Krizeh, the Loiri Zeh Krizeh, Hatzad HaShav HaShabohen, fill in the blank. And so Isi ben Yehuda could have very easily done this. He could have said, you're right, Basar B'chalav is not like Arla, because Arla never had a Shasa Kaisher, and Basar B'chalav did. And you're right, the Basar B'chalav is not like Chametz on Pesach either, because Chametz on Pesach comes with an Iser Kares. However, Arla doesn't come with an Iser Kares. And Loiri Zeh Krizeh, Loiri Zeh Krizeh, Hatzad HaShav HaShabohen, the common denominator between Arla and Chametz on Pesach is that they're Asar Ba'ana. So also bring Basar B'chalav into discussion and say that it's Asar Ba'ana. Why did he have to bring Kilayim to discussion? So Amar Ravashi answers, Mishum De'ikla Meimar Nevela Techiach. That's because if Kilayim wasn't brought in and we only stuck with the original two factors, Arla and Chametz, then we would have been able to ask a question that Nevela proves this is not true. She'asur Ba'achila Umateres Ba'ana, because it's Asar to eat, but it's still Mutter to benefit from. However, Amar Le'er Mardechai Ravashi, Rav Mardechai told Ravashi, the reason why you can't say that, meaning the reason why Nevela would not be a percha, it wouldn't knock away this matzad, is because Hachemrinu Mishmid Rish Lakish, this is what he said in the name of Rish Lakish, Kol matzad, anytime we have a matzad or tzad hashave, migufay parchinon, me'amalay parchinon, we can only ask from it itself, but not from somewhere else. Whatever factors are being used in the discussion of the matzad, so the only way to knock away the matzad is to say, wait, those factors really aren't comparable. But you can't come in with a random thing, meaning you can't now bring nevela and ask on the mahatzad. So Gemara goes back to the original discussion. Iachiv, that's really so. Tasi b'mahatzad. So why not learn from the mahatzad? Why not learn basar b'chalav from arla and chametz? Why did we have to bring in kelayim? And the answer is mishum de'ikel mefrech. That's because we could ask mala tzara shava shabahen that their tzara shava itself has an issue. Shekein gedulei karka, because they grow from the ground. Arla grows from the ground. Chametz on Pesach is something that grows from the ground. It's chametz as opposed to basar b'chalav is not from the ground. And if we're not able to compare basar b'chalav to arla and chametz, ask Mori Yachiv. That's so. Hashanami ikel mefrech. We could still ask the same question, even in the way Isi ben Yehuda continued his kavul chaymer, because we could ask mala kelei akerim shekein gedulei karka. Kelei akerim, which was the third factor that he brought into the discussion, that also is no different. That grows from the ground. So how did Isi ben Yehuda help himself out by bringing this new topic of kelei akerim into the discussion? So Marchai Rav Ashi, Marchai continued telling Rav Ashi, Hacher minu shmei Reish Lakish. This was said in Reish Lakish. Kol mahatzad parchinin kol dehu. Anytime it's a mahatzad, so then we can ask any little question. But loy im amrit, these would be in quotation marks, these three words, loy im amrit. Meaning, if the way that the mahatzad is formatted is by way of a loy im amrit, so then kal v'chaymer parchinon, kol dehu loy parchinon. We can only ask on this if we have either a kul or a chumra, but we can't ask just any little question. Let's stop and explain this because it's very important. What the Gemara is doing right now is differentiating in the way that we're able to ask a question on a mahatzad. And it basically tells us that there's two different types of mahatzads. There's a classic mahatzad, which is what we've been discussing the whole time. We try to compare A to B. That doesn't work, so we can try to compare it to C, and that doesn't work. So we have a mahatzad that B and C have a similarity, and A has that same similarity, so a mela will learn everything together. That's a classic mahatzad. A non-classic mahatzad is when we have the added words of loy imamrit, and that's like Isi ben Yehuda's when a third discussion is brought to the mahatzad, a third factor. Now, what is the difference between the two of them? So that's what he just said. That when you have a classic mahatzad, all you have to do is just simply point out how factors B and C are not like A. It doesn't have to be a huge chumrah or a huge kula. It just has to be a very simple way how B and C are simply different than A, which over here would be that arla and chametz are different than basar b'chalav because they grow from the ground and basar b'chalav doesn't. And that knocks away a mahatzad really easily, no problem. It's only when we have a third factor being brought in, this loy im amrit, so then you can't just knock it away with an easy question. You have to come with a kal or chaymer. You have to show how that third topic, the reason why it's different than A, than the original one, over here that would be basar b'chalav, is because it's either much more kal or it's much more chamer. And so that's why Isi ben Yehuda brought kelayim into the discussion, because then you can't just ask a simple question. You can't just say, oh, it grows from the ground. That's not a kula or a chamra. That just shows how it's different. Now that we have this third topic here, you have to ask either a real kula or a real chamra, and since we don't have one, then we remain with a solid kal v'chaymer that we're able to learn basar b'chalav from these three things. Now, even though Gemara just gave a really good explanation of why Isi ben Yehuda formatted his kal v'chaymer with three factors instead of just two, the Gemara still asks, v'lifrich l'kulhu, why not still ask this question on all of them? Malakulu shekein gedulei karka, that all of them, meaning arla, chametz on Pesach, and kelei akerem, they all grow from the ground, as opposed to basar b'chalav, which doesn't grow from the ground. And it must be this makshan, the one that's asking this question, didn't fully understand the explanation that we just gave, and that's why he's still pushing this point that these three factors of Isi ben Yehuda all share the same unique thing that they grow from the ground, which makes it not comparable to basar b'chalav. So here we have an answer. Amalev Mordechai Rav Ashi, Hacher Minu Shmei Reish Lakish, is another thing they say in the name of Reish Lakish. Kofte Zayinu Mor Alpha on the top. Vechada Mechada, Kula V'chomer Parchinon, Kaldu Ulai Parchinon. If we're just learning one thing from the other, meaning like Isi ben Yehuda's original Kal V'chomer, the basar b'chalav is only being learned from Arla, so then the only way you're able to ask on that is if we show that it has a Kula or a Chomer to it, we can't just ask any question. And that's why the question that was asked was a very strong one, that Arla never had a Shas Kosher, that's a Chomer, as opposed to basar b'chalav that did have a Shas Kosher. So that's the only way we can knock away when we're learning one from one, A from B. However, Chadim Etarti, if we're learning one from two, if we're learning A from B and C, Afilu Kaldu Parchinon, we can even ask the easiest question. And that's what we had suggested in our previous discussion, that if we're learning basar b'chalav just from Arla and Chametz, we could say that Arla and Chametz are different because they grow from the ground. That's not a Kula or a Chumrah, it's a Kol Dehu, it's any question. However, Chadim Etlas, once you have one being learned from three, when you have basar b'chalav being learned from Arla, Chametz, and Kelei HaKerem, Ihadr Din of Asi Mahatzad, Parchinon Kol Dehu, if you're going to loop the discussion back around and just learn using regular mahatzad, so then you're right, you could ask a simple question that would knock it away. But if not, kula v'chomer parchinon, kol dehu loy parchinon, you can only ask a question that's based off of a kula or a chomra. You can't just ask a kol dehu, just a very simple question. And that's why Isi ben Yehuda brought in this third factor of kilayim, because he knew that there is no question of kula or chomra that could be asked to knock away this matzad. And he also knew that you're not just able to ask a simple question of what do you mean it grows from the ground? Because again, such a simple question is only able to be asked when you're learning one from two, not one from three. And so Issa ben Yehuda's Kal v'chomer stays strong. And we're stopping for the day. We'll pick up tomorrow, continue to suggest a question that we can ask on this. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.